Now I want to ask you a question, and I need your help with this. What time is it? Gorman, what time is it? Come on, what time is it? 20 to 11. Gary, what time is it? 10:42. College football, yeah, okay, fine. That's nice. Josh, what time is it? Time to listen to the sermon. Well, you know, you ask three guys three different same question, you're going to get three different answers, right? You know, I was looking for, you know, Gorman looked at his watch, you know, and some of you, if you were to look for the time, you wouldn't be looking at your watch, would you? You'd be trying to pull out your phone and dig that out. You know, what's interesting is that with all of the change we have going on today, with everything that's being manipulated and destroyed around us, you know one thing that remains constant? Time. They haven't found a way to mess that up yet. It's staying the same. Time is all, that's the constant that we continue to have. What time is it? I would be interested if there's anybody in here over 50 that might be having a tune going in your head right now. What time is it that came from a Disney? If somebody over 50 could tell me the name of a Disney film that had this song in it. It was a Disney. They did a musical from high school that had a song. If after service, if you're over 50, if you're under 50, no credit to you because you ought to know it. But just curious if you would know that high school musical movie that they had, what the name of that movie was. But they had a song in it that said, "What time is it?" It's that constant that we have in our lives, and yet we're enslaved to the clock, aren't we? Are we enslaved to it? We can't do anything without checking what time it is. You know, everything is based upon the clock. You make an appointment with your doctor, and what do you have to have? You got to have the time to go and see your doctor. If you're going to have a meeting with somebody, I'll meet you there. Well, when are you going to meet? You have to have a time. If you call an Uber, if you get on your phone and you set up an Uber, you got to put a time in there. Everything, you got to have a start and a stop time. Here's a scientific fact for you this morning. You know, scientific facts, they've got to be based upon the scientific method. Scientific method involves observation over years and years and years of time. Here's a scientific fact for you. The one time when every person knows what time it is during a sermon. You know what time it is during a sermon better than any other time during the week. It is a scientific fact proven over years of observation. You know what time it is during a sermon better. It's just the truth. We live by the clock. What time is it in your life? Most important thing that we can do this morning is to view our time the way that God views time. To see what we need to know about the clock, what we need to know about time, based upon how God looks at it. So I want you to turn your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 13. Passage that was read for us this morning is going to be our center of attention today. Romans chapter 13, those last four verses of the chapter. I want you to look at these verses. We're going to look at what this passage has to teach us about understanding the importance of seeing time the way that God sees time. And when you turn to this text, the first thing that comes to life is that you need to know what time it is. And this, you see the word time here in verse 11. We need to know what time it is. Do you see in verse 11 where he says, "And do this knowing the time, that now it is what?" The New King James says, "Now it is high time to awake out of sleep." God wants you to know today that it's time for you to wake up. I know it's during a sermon, and that's not a fair thing to say, but it's time for you to wake up today. That's what God says in Romans chapter 13, but to wake up to your spiritual condition. That's what God's talking about here. He's not talking about shaking that person next to you in the pew who's sleeping unless they start snoring, then we want you to shake them. But this is talking about waking up to your spiritual condition. God says there's a lot of things going on in the world. What's going on in your soul? What's going on in your relationship with God? When was the last time you went to the doctor for a checkup? Have you been to the doctor recently? Do you have those annual visits? Maybe you have biannual visits. You have those annual visits when you go into the doctor and the doctor has all of these questions. Or maybe it's the nurse or the PA has got all these questions. They ask you like 50 questions. Do you do this and this and this and this? They go through all these questions. Why are they doing that? To drive you crazy? To get you irritated? Yes, that's why they're doing that. No, Why are they doing that? Trying to get a gauge on where you are physically. What's been going on in your life? Anything changed? You having any new symptoms? What's going on with you? Imagine you had one of those kind of visits with the great physician. Wonder what kind of questions he would ask us. How you been doing with this? How you been doing with this? Anything changed? Anything going on in your life? I wonder what the great physician would tell us to do after receiving the answers to those questions. I wonder if he would have any advice, any biblical advice to give us when he helps us to look inside and to inspect, where am I spiritually? Can I ask you a question? Has COVID caused you to go into kind of a spiritual lull? Has it kind of lulled you spiritually in just kind of a spiritual slumber? I think COVID's done that for a lot of us. You know, all of a sudden, things that we used to do, we don't do them anymore. Things that used to be so easy, things that used to be so automatic, they're not anymore. And I think for some of us, it's not only curtailed our physical activity, I think for some of us, it's curtailed our spiritual activity. God says, it's time to wake up. God says it's time to wake up to our spiritual condition and see, where am I in my relationship with the Lord? But that's not all that he says in verse 11. Know that it is now high time to awake out of sleep. For now, a marker of time, now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. God says that our future salvation is closer than it ever has been. You became a Christian. Many of you became a Christian. And he says, now, today, you've lived another day. And the more days you live, you are another day closer to your final salvation. How does that feel today? How does it feel today that you are closer to your final salvation than you ever have been? But that's not all that he says. Look in verse 12, where he says, the night is far spent. What does that mean? The night is far spent. That means the time that you do have is running out. The nighttime is almost over. Your opportunities to serve the Lord are fading. The night is far spent, and the day, what day? The day of Christ's return. The day of Christ's return is at hand. The next thing on God's calendar is the return of Jesus. You know, at the beginning of time, God set out this great plan. And this great plan in order to redeem mankind. And Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 says that at the appointed time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman. God had a time when Jesus was going to come. And you remember what Jesus did when He died and was buried and raised again. And He established His church in Acts chapter 2. And the very next thing that God has in plan for His Son is to send Him again. That day is coming. Are you ready? We need to know what time it is. Take a moment and go over to Mark chapter 13. Hold your finger in Romans chapter 13 because we're coming right back here. But I don't want you to get the idea that Romans chapter 13 is telling us that the day of the Lord, that there's all sorts of signs that are indicating the day of the Lord is at hand. No, the day of the Lord could come at any time. And the day of the Lord is closer than it ever has been. That's a truth. Look in Mark chapter 13. Look in the closing verses of Mark chapter 13, where we understand that we've got to be ready for that day anytime. Mark chapter 13, beginning in verse 32. But of that day, the return of Christ, that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, and not even the Son of God knows that day, but only the Father. Take heed. Since you don't know, take heed. Watch and pray. For you do not know when the time is. I need to know what time it is. I need to know what time it is for me spiritually, my relationship with God. But God says right here, you don't know when that time's going to be. What does that indicate? Well, I need to be ready all of the time. Verse 34, it's like a man going to a far country, left his house, gave authority to his servants, to each one his work, commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Verse 35, watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, in the morning. You don't know when this is going to happen, lest coming suddenly he find you, what? Sleeping. You know why God tells us in Romans chapter 13 to wake up? He tells us it's time for you to awake out of your sleep, because when Jesus comes back, you don't need to be sleeping spiritually. You don't need to be lulled into a spiritual slumber because of what's going on. We need to be alive and awake in our service to God. And so the very last verse he says, "And what I say to you, I say to all, watch." Where are you today? When you think about what time it is today, when you think about what time it is in your relationship with God today, where are you? What time is it in your relationship with your God? Are you where you need to be? God wants us to know what time it is. But he goes on in this passage to not just focus on knowing what time it is, but knowing what does God expect me to do with this time. I need to know where I am, but what do I need to do with the time that God has given to me? And what he does in this section of Scripture, when you get to, down to the end of verse 12 and down through verse 13, is there's actually three different sentences here, but they're double sentences. Meaning there's three sentences here, but they've got a negative and a positive, a negative and a positive, a negative and a positive. They've got three sentences that have negative and positives in all three of these sentences. And so I want us to see, what does God expect of me to do? Now, in verse 11, he said, it's time for us to wake up. What do you need to do after you wake up? Here's what some of us don't do. What we need to do, what God tells us to do in this text after we wake up, is that we need to get up. Are you somebody who wakes up but you don't get up right away? You hit the snooze button. You pull the phone over and begin scrolling Facebook to see what blew up overnight. Let me see what I need to prepare for today. Are you somebody who has a hard time getting up? God not only says it's time for us to wake up, he says it's time to get up. Do you see the words "let us" three times in this text? It's three times. At the end of verse 12 and end of verse 13. Let us, let us, let us. What does that mean? That is God. That's Paul's way of saying it's not just time to wake up. Come on. It's time to get up. You ever do that to your kids? They're awake and they're in bed, but you say, let's go get some breakfast. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. What's the word "let's" mean? It means get up. It's time to go. Somebody ever come to you and say, let's eat dinner? What does that mean? Come on. Get up off the couch. It's time to eat dinner. God says it's time to wake up. It's time to get up. What do you need to do after you get up in the morning? God says it's time to get dressed. Do you see it? It's there in the text. It's time for us to get dressed. And he says this when he says, there are some things that I need to put off. The middle of verse 12, therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. When I get up and I'm ready to serve the Lord, I need to change my clothes. I need to get dressed. And getting dressed involves, I'm not going to go out in the clothes that I just slept in. You don't do that most of the time, do you? Going out in the same clothes you just slept in. God says, there are those works of darkness. There are those clothes. There's that clothing. There's that life that I used to live, those works of darkness. And he says, I need to get rid of that. I need to take that garment off. I need to get those night clothes away from me. And then there are three different phrases. There's three different pairings that he uses to describe some specifics of what that involves. God says, I need to put off anything like substance abuse. And he uses two different words for drinking. You might have the word revelry. In your translation, it's talking about carousing. It's talking about a drinking party. God says, here are some things I need to put off. I need to put off drinking parties and drunkenness. Two different words talk about drinking. God says, that's the kind of life that I need to put off. Not have a part of my life anymore. I need to put off sexual immorality. Here are these things that the world makes so common, the world makes look so appetizing, the world just makes it look like everybody else is doing this. But when it comes to sexual promiscuity, God says, I need to put that off. When it comes to fulfilling those lusts, lewdness, your Bible might have debauchery or lasciviousness, I need to put that off. Anything that would cause me to sin against God sexually, God says, I need to take that and I need to put that off. And then there's just some sorry attitudes that I might have. I need to get rid of those. Think about Think about the fullness of what God is telling us here. God says, I need to wake up to my spiritual condition. Where am I with God? Once I figure out, here's where I am with God, I need to get up. I don't just need to stay there. I need to get up, and then I need to get dressed. There's some things I need to take off. Notice he's saying this to Christians. He's saying this to people that have already been baptized into Christ. But this is a constant need for us as Christians. Constant evaluation. Constantly waking up, getting up, and taking off things that don't need to be a part of our lives anymore. But look at the end of verse 14. At the end of verse 14, God says, I want you to take off all of these things. I want you to cast off all of these works of darkness. But not just that. I want you to put off even thinking about doing evil. The end of the verse 14 says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. I don't want you to even think about how to fulfill those lusts. Don't leave any room in your life. Don't put them off and then just leave a little corner that says, all right, I'll leave a little room for those things to come back in. God says, don't even leave them a corner of your mind to allow those thoughts to come back. Make no provision for the flesh. Can I ask you this morning? Are there some things that you need to put off? Are there some garments that you've had on that this verse describes as works of darkness? Are there some garments that have been keeping you from being in a right relationship with your Lord? What is there in your life today? What time is it? It may be time for you to take some things off, put them aside, say, that's not what I'm going to do anymore. I can't do that and serve my Lord at the same time. But once you take off those night clothes, what does he say? What else does he say here? There are some things I need to put on. There are those nighttime clothes. There are those works of darkness that I need to put off. But then he says here, I need to put on some things. I need to put on those clothes of the daytime. I need to put on those clothes of light. Those clothes that are different from the way I used to live. I don't wear the same things. I don't look the same way. I don't act the same way I used to before I became a Christian. But now that I'm trying to serve the Lord and I'm waking up to where I am, I need to put on those daytime clothes. Look at how he says it even more in verse 14. I think he's explaining in verse 14 what he says in verse 12. Verse 12, he says, let us put on the armor of light. What does that mean? Verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a choice, a determined choice that I've got to make. Not only when I become a Christian, but an ongoing choice that I must make every day when I wake up. I need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that look like? Look back up to verse 10, verses 8, 9, and 10 even. What does it look like? When I put on the Lord Jesus Christ, I am putting on the love that He had for all of mankind. Do you see in verse 10 where he says, love does no harm to a neighbor? Would that be a good verse for us to remember? Love does no harm to a neighbor. Would that be a good verse for us to live in our society today? Love does no harm to a neighbor. Because when we love, it is a fulfillment of the law of God. Just as Jesus came to fulfill that law, when I love my neighbor and I seek to do him no harm, I am putting on my Lord Jesus Christ. And not just towards my neighbor, but I do this towards especially my brethren, where I find opportunities to be tender-hearted, to put on tender mercies, to put on humility, to put on kindness. That's what Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12 tells me to do. I've taken off these outer garments. I've taken off these old garments. Now I'm putting on new garments. What do they look like? They look like tender mercies, Colossians 3 and verse 12. They look like kindness and humility. Verse 14 of Colossians 3 says, finally, put on love. Above all of these, put on love. What's the outward garment that I have all the time? It's this love. Because when I have it, it's the bond of perfection. It helps me to be more like Jesus and to treat people like Jesus. This text in Romans 13 says to put on the armor of light. Do we need today, do we need the Lord's help in dealing with all that's going on around us? Do we need the Lord's help? when we're being attacked as Christians today, do we need the Lord's protection? The Lord's protection doesn't come by wearing those old garments of darkness. The Lord's protection will not come if I continue to wear those things that I was supposed to put off. But when I put on the armor of light, when I put on my Lord, when I wake up every day determined that people are not going to see David, they're going to see Jesus. And when I make decisions about how I talk every day, how I behave every day, how I treat others every day, I don't want them to hear or see or feel that they're interacting with David, but see and understand that there's something different here. This person acts like Jesus. What do I need to do? I need to know what time it is. It's time for me to wake up to where I am in my life with the Lord. When I wake up, I need to get up and be ready for action. After I get up, I need to get dressed. But are you done? When you get up in the morning and you get dressed, are you done? Sorry, you're not done. The rest of this text says, after you get up and get dressed, you need to get going. You need to get going. Look at what the text says. Look in, what verse is this? Verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Verse 13, let us walk properly as in the day. And then he begins those not things, that these are not the way that we are to walk. There are some avenues in our life, those avenues of darkness, where we need to stop walking. 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter's writing to a group of Christians, 1 Peter chapter 4, and he says, you have spent enough of your past life time. You've spent enough of your time in serving and living the life of the Gentiles. You've done enough of that. Now let's go over here and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that true for some of us? We've spent enough time living like the world. We've spent enough time walking these paths of darkness. It is time for us to get going in the right direction. So Ephesians 5 verse 16 says we've got to redeem the time. We've got to buy up the time. We've got to use our time wisely. And so instead of using our time to walk those paths of darkness, we've got to use our time to walk in the path of light. To walk in the paths that have been laid out for us in Scripture. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says, if we walk in the light, you know what he says after that? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Are we doing that? Are we walking where God would have us to walk? I want us to think about that for just a couple minutes. Are there some things that I need to do? Are there some things that you need to do right now? What time is it? It's time for me to live the way God expects me to live. Are there some things that would be helpful for me to do right now? The Bible teaches that it is time for us. It is time for us as Christians to stop trying to please the world. It's time for us as Christians to stop trying to be liked by everybody in the world. It's time for us as Christians to stop fearing every bad thing that comes along. Do you get up in the morning? Do you actually scroll through Facebook to see what blew up overnight? Do you get up in the morning and turn on the news and see how bad are things today? Does that feed your fear when you hear all of the bad things that are going on? Does God want us to live in fear? In Psalm 27 and verse 1, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Is that true for us? If the Lord is my light and I'm walking in His light, what do I have to fear? What is there that I need to be concerned about? Psalm 46 says, God is my refuge, you know the verse, and my strength. Is that true for you? God is my refuge and my strength. You know what the next verse says in verse 2? If God is my refuge and my strength, the next verse says, therefore, we will not fear. Why? Because God's my refuge and my strength. But the rest of verse 2 says, therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be cast into the midst of the sea. I know we've got bad things going on around us, but have you ever been on a mountain or near a mountain when it was taken and thrown into the middle of the sea? Would that rock your world? Literally? If the mountain was taken and thrown? God is saying if the worst calamity possible could happen, like a mountain being thrown into the depths of the sea, the psalmist says, we still won't fear. Because God is my refuge and my strength. It's time for us to put our trust in God and stop putting our fear in every bad thing that's going on. It's time for us to not believe everything that we hear. Do you know that the Bible teaches us that it's folly for us to answer a matter before we hear both sides of what's happening? And that same chapter in Proverbs chapter 17 says, you know, when you hear one side of the story, it seems compelling until the neighbor comes and tells the other side of the story. We need to stop believing everything that we hear. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 says, don't believe every spirit. Don't believe every teacher, but try the spirits. Put them to the test. Test all things. And when it comes to biblical matters, when it comes to religious matters, see if what they say is what the Bible says. Let's not believe everything that we hear. The Bible says that it is time for us to stand for truth. To not be ashamed of the truth, but to be one. You know Ephesians chapter 6. You know Ephesians chapter 6 talks about putting on the whole armor of God. And it says there that we need to take up the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Take therefore, he says, put on, stand therefore, having girded your waist with, you know what we're supposed to gird our waist with? Truth. God says, I need to take a stand. And when those opportunities come where someone is speaking against the truth, I need to stand for truth. And God says, when that evil day comes, that's what He's saying in Ephesians 6 and verse 12 and 13. When the evil day comes, I need to be able to withstand the evil. And the way I do that is by standing for the truth. May God help us not to be ashamed of truth. May God help us not to be ashamed of biblical morality, but to stand for it. These next few verses have the word time or have the word now in them. It is time for us to be teachers of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 5, the writer said to those Christians, you ought to by this time be teachers. He's not talking to people and saying, you know what? You should be down in this classroom and teaching in this classroom over here. That's not the scope of being, that is not the limited scope of being a teacher of God's Word. You know what the world needs now? I know it needs love, sweet love, right? You know what the world needs now? The world needs the truth. You know what it's starving for right now? The truth of God. Do they know it? Probably not. You know what I need to do? Not just stand for truth. I need to teach the truth unashamedly so that God doesn't look down at David and say, David, by this time, you ought to be a teacher, but you're not. You know what a teacher does? A teacher teaches. You can't say, well, I'm a teacher if you're not teaching. Are we teaching God's Word? It's time for us to not be ashamed. It's time for us to pick up our Bibles and to tell others what the Bible teaches. It is time for us. Romans chapter 6 says, no longer present your bodies as slaves of unrighteousness, but now present your bodies as slaves of righteousness unto holiness. I need to present my body unto God and say, God, You've got this today. You've got it tomorrow. You've got my life every single day. In fact, God, I'm going to do all that I can to now. Paul says in Philippians 1 and verse 20, now Christ will be magnified in my body. What time is it? Right now, it is time for Christ to be magnified in my body. I might be living in the flesh now, Galatians 2 and verse 20, but right now, Christ is going to be seen in me. Where are we today? Do we know what time it is? Do we know what God is expecting of us? Are there some areas where perhaps we need to repent? Are there some areas where I know what God's expectations for me have been, but I haven't been doing those things. Revelation chapter 2 to the church of Thyatira, God talks about those followers of Jezebel and, you know, says, I've given them time to repent. Has God given us time to repent? Are there some things as a Christian today that I need to look at, that I need to back away from? I need to wake up to where I am. And when I wake up and say, that's not where I need to be, I need to get up, get dressed, and get going in the right direction and ask God to forgive me for not standing for truth, for not being a teacher for truth. To ask God to help me chart that course, not in the path of darkness, but in a path of light. Is that where you are today? Is that where we are in serving our Lord today? Do we realize that our time to serve the Lord is growing shorter and shorter? You're not getting more days to serve the Lord. You are having fewer and fewer days to serve the Lord, and the time of His coming is one day closer today than it was yesterday. Am I ready for that time to come? Am I using the time that God is giving me now to be ready for that day? And if that's not the case, I need to know right now that right now is the time to be saved. Are you saved? Not in the way that the religious world might use that terminology. Well, are you saved? And they ask that question in some different kind of way. I want to ask you that question on a biblical level. Have you done what the Bible says to be saved? There was one individual in the Bible that never got saved, as far as we know. He never got saved because he was waiting for a convenient time. What time is it right now? Right now, it's time for you to be saved. And my plea to you this morning is, don't look for a convenient time. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, it uses the word behold twice. Behold, look, lift up your eyes, open your eyes. Behold, right now, it's the time of salvation. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Now is the time. Now is the acceptable time. Have you ever done what this book says to be saved? Not what some church said, not what some preacher said, not what some family member said. Have you ever done what this book says to be saved? There are some here today that may need to wake up and evaluate their spiritual condition, their relationship with the Lord, and wake up and realize, I'm not saved. I'm not where I need to be. And today, if you have never done what this book says in order to be saved, it's time for you to do it. And it's time for you right now to answer the question, why are you waiting to do it? Why haven't you done what this book says to do? Can you answer that? Not out loud, but in your own mind, can you answer the question, why am I waiting? A man named Ananias came to the chief of sinners, and that's what he said. Now, why are you waiting? I know some of you may have an answer to that. Well, I'm waiting for this. I'm waiting because of this. I'm waiting for this. I'm waiting for this. Can you go back up and read 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 again? None of those things matter. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Do you know about tomorrow? The Bible says we don't know about tomorrow. We don't even know that we're going to have a tomorrow, let alone a this afternoon. Now is the acceptable time. And today you not only need to answer the question, why are you waiting, but today is the day when you need to arise and to be saved from your sins. What reason could there be that you would want to walk out of this building today still carrying your sins with you. Why would you want to take your sins home? Why would you want to carry your sins for the rest of the week? Why are you waiting? You can this day arise and have every one of your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. Not by our own goodness, but by His blood and His love. Let all of those sins be taken away. If you haven't done it, do it today. Do it today by believing that Jesus is God's Son. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Acts 16 verse 31. We've got to believe that Jesus came and He died for our sins. Not His sins. He didn't have any. Died for our sins. He was buried in that tomb and raised again the third day. Do you believe that happened? Do you believe that with all of your heart? If you do, the Bible says that I need to take that faith. And I need to allow that faith to turn me in the direction of God and say, I don't want sins anymore. Why would I want sins? They put Jesus on the cross. He took them. I want them gone. And repent of my sins. Turn away from them. Change the way I'm thinking about sins. Change the way I'm thinking about life. Turn in the direction of God and say, God, I don't want to do wrong anymore. I want to do what's right. Are you ready to do that today? You can make up your mind to do that today. To do what they did in the New Testament, not what some church made up. To do what they did in the New Testament by confessing your faith in Jesus Christ. I believe that He died for me on that cross. He was buried. He was raised again. He is the Son of God. And then to do what Ananias said to that chief of sinners in Acts 22, 16. Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Because that's the only way you can wash away your sins. That's the only way you can call on the name of the Lord and for the Lord to forgive you of your sins. Have you ever been baptized for that reason? Have you ever been baptized because the moments before you were baptized, you still had all of your sins? But at the moment you were baptized, the blood of Jesus removed all of those sins. He who believes and is baptized, he's saved from those sins. And then at that point, you were raised to walk in newness of life without any sins. Have you ever been baptized for that reason? And if you haven't, why not do it today? Why not arise and be baptized today? Right now is the time that you need to do that. Why not today? And having done that, Bible says to continue walking in the light as He is in the light. Continue living faithfully to Him. I know there are some here today. I know there are some Christians here today that we need to wake up to where we are with our Lord. We need to get up. We need to get dressed. We need to get moving. And I know there are some here today who are not Christians. You haven't done what the Bible says to do. And I want you to know that there's warm water here. There are garments back here. There are towels here. There's everything ready for you to be baptized right here today. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. The song that we are singing is a song of encouragement. It's not a song that's in our book. A song that says, "Pierce my ear." That's a funny song to some of us. But in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, when that slave was about ready to be freed by his master, but he didn't want to be freed by his master. He wanted to stay with his master because his master had been treating him well. He said, "I don't want to be free. I don't want to go out on my own. I want to keep serving you for the rest of my life." That master would take that slave to the doorpost of the home and would take an awl and would put it right through his ear, pierce his ear, as a sign that that slave would serve his master for the rest of his life. And that's why the song says, "Pierce my ear. Take me to your door this day. I will serve no other God. Lord, I'm here to stay." If you need to be saved today, the way the Bible says to be saved, why don't you come while we sing? And why don't you come and be baptized into Christ? And if for some reason, let me mention this, if for some reason you're just embarrassed and you don't want to come forward during the singing of a song, you can be baptized after services when nobody else is here. You can wait until everybody else is gone and be the only one in the building. But why would you let the sun go down tonight and still have all of your sins? If we can help you get right with the Lord right now, the time is now.